This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Well, you no doubt heard about the Blockbuster trade. We talked about Sham saying Giannis would be traded before the NBA draft. That was, in fact, true. The Bucks are trading Giannis Antetokounmpo and Bobby Portis to the Miami Heat for Tyler Hero, Khalil Ware, Jamie Vasquez, wow, Kasparis Giakounis, and three first-round picks, including number 13 in Tuesday's NBA draft, one pick swap, and one second-round pick. Sources told ESPN. Bottom line is Giannis is going to be a member of the Miami Heat, and the Heat will be sending to Milwaukee unprotected first rounders in 2031 and 2033. So we talked about this yesterday, that it was Boston and Miami, and now Boston still has Jaylen Brown, and they're going to have to figure out what they want to do there. But Giannis will be a member of the Miami Heat.
And all the heat's
going
on
forward.
Him.
Come on, Mike. Let's be better than that today, man. Let's just try to be a little bit better. Now I lost my train of thought. What the hell? Stop. Okay? New rule. Seriously. New rule. No more. No more puns for the rest of the day. You keep interrupting a really good show, Mike, an award-winning show, and you're destroying this country. So now you pair him up with Bam Adebayo. And it was interesting because Pat Riley said that he'd never get rid of Bam Adebayo. He's like, the only way we would trade him for anybody is we want Giannis and eight first-round picks. Pat Riley stood by it, kept his dude, and now he's got another dude. How will that work? Time will tell. But that wasn't the only thing that happened yesterday. The Wolves, who beat the Nuggets in the playoffs, decided they're going to break it apart a little bit. They're going to make some changes. The Brooklyn Nets are acquiring three-time All-Star forward Julius Randle from the Minnesota Timberwolves as part of a three-team deal that also will send center Nick Claxton to the Chicago Bulls, according to ESPN's Shams, on Monday night. Randle and the Wolves, number 28 pick in Tuesday's NBA draft, will go to Brooklyn, which will send its 33rd pick to Minnesota. Now there are reports that Anthony Edwards is kind of frustrated. He was frustrated last year with the fact that they traded Karl Anthony Towns, and now this, are the Timberwolves breaking this thing down? Are they doing what the Nuggets, and I'm not saying Minnesota's right, but are they doing what the Nuggets are just maybe not interested in doing? And that's breaking the whole thing down. Not so sure. Anthony Edwards is a stud, and he still gives you a chance. He still makes you a playoff team. They did sign Ayo Dosunmu to a five-year, the T-Wolves did, to a five-year, $112 million contract that includes a player option in the fifth season. This will be fascinating to see how the Timberwolves react to all this. How about this one? Golden Knights owner Bill Foley launching NBA Las Vegas bid. The Golden Knights founder and majority owner Bill Foley announced Monday that he is launching a bid to bring an NBA franchise to Las Vegas. He will pursue the first NBA team in Las Vegas. That comes after the NBA's Board of Governors approved a vote in late March to explore bids and applicants for expansion franchises exclusively in Las Vegas and Seattle. Sham Sharona said at the time that all 30 NBA owners voted in favor of exploring Las Vegas and Seattle, with the bidding process expected to generate offers in the $7 billion to $10 billion range. And as we pointed out earlier, Michael, the number the 2026 supplemental draft is a no-go, which has been the case before. Like, sometimes there just isn't a supplemental draft, which does actually answer the question from the Weld County Swami. He cannot play in 2026 officially because of the timelines. He didn't declare for the NFL draft. A supplemental draft is to help those that maybe were in that weird gray area, didn't know if they were going to have another year of eligibility or whatever, so they didn't quite declare. And then the supplemental draft is kind of a parachute plan, but not a guaranteed parachute plan for guys that are still stuck somewhere in between.
Yeah, it sounds like, I mean, I don't think he can sue the NFL. If I'm Roger Goodell, I'm emailing everybody and saying, supplemental draft? Are you interested in anything? Because, I don't want to hold a supplemental draft and then suddenly, we're not interested in anyone. We're good. And I feel like everybody said, all 32 teams said, we're good. We don't want this problem on our team.
Yeah. This is a great move by Roger Goodell. I mean, this is him exercising that power that doesn't exist in the college world. But now the story's getting a little deeper. Of course, an NFL source told ESPN, Sorsby's application carries with it a lot of issues. Core of the game integrity issues. Sorsby's attorney, Jeffrey Kessler, say what you will about him, but he might not be a bad attorney, told ESPN the NFL's decision to not hold a supplemental draft is a violation of the CBA and the law. We will pursue this immediately with the NFLPA. The league told Sorsby in a letter obtained by ESPN, your petition filed 3 business days before the deadline, without any supporting information or documentation, and only after abandoning your recent litigation efforts to avoid NCAA sanctions, does not provide a basis for the league to alter those plans. Easy there, Kessler. You're not messing with the shattered NCAA. You're messing with the shield. Tread lightly, I would say.
The shield has a sword right behind it.
And that's Raj. They call him Raj. You don't mess with Raj. Just, Dixon says, why can't this dude just be a dude and sign with a team?
Because he didn't declare for the draft. You have to declare for the draft. If you can't get into the draft, if you're not eligible, there are people out there everywhere who are super athletic, and maybe one of the NFL teams finds one of these guys who hasn't played NFL football before. I'm guessing they could say, hey, Roger, there's this dude out there who's never played football before, but he's really athletic. We think we could use him. Can we open up a supplemental draft?
So does that, Dixon's out, and you help me out with this because you're researching this. What's to keep, let's say I have undiscovered talent and I go walk on, I go to camp someday and I try out. Can I make a team? Potentially, if I light it up, could I make a team, or I couldn't make a team because I didn't declare for a draft? Or is it just got a one-year kind of thing?
I think it is possible. I know they've done it in the past where they've held open tryouts. But I think that's up to the team. And I think they might have to get the – I don't know if they have to get the – they probably do have to get the blessing of Roger Goodell and other owners. But this hasn't been done in a long time.
The NFL hasn't held a supplemental draft since 2019. Sorsby would potentially be able to play in the CFL. He's currently ineligible to play under NCAA rules. This is getting actually a little bit worse as the story goes on here. Yes, Michael.
The last time the NFL does not hold open public tryouts. The last true open tryout opportunities occurred in 1995 with the Carolina Panthers.
Speaking of open tryouts, we're going to watch Invincible on Friday. That's what we're reviewing. Just thought it'd be a good time to mention that.
That was good.
You said open tryouts.
I'm proud of you.
And it's kind of part of the movie.
Good host.
I do like that the league fired back and said, your petition filed 3 business days before the deadline without any supporting information or documentation, and only after abandoning your recent litigation efforts to avoid NCAA sanctions, does not provide a basis for the league to alter those plans. I love that. Just because you screwed it up there and this was your only way out does not mean we got to play your little Mickey Mouse game, man. We don't have to play your game.
I absolutely love this ruling. This makes me very happy.
Yeah, dude. Stop breaking the law. The league's letter to Sorsby said that the sole reasons he sought entry in his petition where he'd been declared ineligible. This is the petition. The petition provides no information regarding the basis for or timing of the NCAA's decision. Public sources, however, indicate that in May 26, the NCAA issued a determination declaring you permanently ineligible from participating in college athletics based on a sustained pattern of improper gambling activity during your collegiate career at 3 different universities. Instead, even after receiving notice of the NCAA's decision rescinding your college eligibility in May, you sought to avoid the consequences of that determination through litigation rather than accepting responsibility for your actions, and you pursued entry into the NFL only after abandoning those efforts. Boom. Wow. As Commissioner Goodell has emphasized, participation in the NFL is a privilege that carries with it significant responsibilities, including accountability. By all accounts, you are a talented player with the potential for future success. We encourage you to focus on preparing for a possible entry into the NFL through the 2027 NFL annual draft. So you're just saying you can play maybe later, but not this year. We will set an example. We will set that example. 17 minutes after the hour. More on that later. Spencer Smith, DNVR Rocky, is going to join us. The Rocks with an exciting win last night. Just what kind of vibes is he getting from this team? That's still bad, but interesting bad. Not just bad, interesting bad. Spencer coming up next.
Almost here. Yeehaw! And KFKA has you covered. Here's stories, rodeo coverage, and winsome tickets on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when 4 walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Joining us now, Spencer Smith, DNVR Rockies, as the Rockies do it again last night. They win 3-2 over Boston, but it was, at first, they singled their way into some success, and then Jake McCarthy came in and finished it up with a triple, giving the Rockies the 3-2 win. Spencer, my man, this one got you, dude. This one got you. Like, a lot of us thought this one was over.
Brady, I already had my losing game tweet ready to roll. Yeah, it was not good, man. It was a frustrating game. I think I said earlier they made that starting pitcher look like prime Clayton Kershaw. He's basically no-hitting the Rockies through seven innings. A rookie with a almost five ERA, his first time pitching at Coors. And they kind of let him off the hook, and they let everybody off the hook, really, until, you know, that one of the better closers in the history of the game, Aroldis Chapman, comes in, and all of a sudden they figure out how to score some runs.
Yeah, what is that? Like, I see Chapman coming in, I'm like, all right, we're going to be lucky to get anything here. And then a Rumfield single, and then a Goodman single, and then a Carrick Bunt single. That was really smart, and I want to ask you some questions on that one. And then suddenly a McCarthy triple, all on Chapman. How, I mean, what is going on?
I have no idea. And I actually posted a clip about this morning. But for those of you Rockies fans that didn't realize it, they did say it on the broadcast, I believe, last night. But the Rockies finished the game with eight straight base hits. And I don't know what's more impressive of four straight base hits in a game-winning ninth inning against Aroldis Chapman or getting four straight base hits in the eighth inning and proceeding to score zero runs off four straight hits.
It's wild. It's just a weird... It's just got a weird feel. Every single game lately has a weird feel to it. And that one specifically with those eight straight base hits, that is an insane number to do that and then to find a way to ultimately win.
Well, you know what's actually, you're not seeing the whole Rockies world shift in front of our eyes, but we're seeing these little changes. And honestly, what's happened to the Rockies in their little stretch here of winning three out of four games is what's happening to them, or for them, I should say, is usually what happens to them. The Pirates have two guys on third base with nobody out this weekend. They don't score a single run. The Rockies win both one-run games. Then last night, how many times have we seen the Rockies score two runs? The starting pitcher actually pitches well, gets to the bullpen, and they give it up in the ninth. I think we've seen that four or five times already this year. And they're starting to flip the script on some of these teams, which is really impressing me.
Spencer Smith joining us now, DNVR Rockies. What is it then? I mean, even just listening to like Jake McCarthy's post game and waiting for the Gatorade shower, there's just something about these guys and McCarthy talking about the rookies in that moment and what they were able to do in Rumfield and Carrick. It's fun and they're still bad, but not like last year. But it's like an entertaining bad. And that you know, ultimately can lead to something great, maybe down the road.
Exactly, man. And if you're looking at, you know, you've been doing sports in this town, the Broncos from after they won the Super Bowl in 2015, so 2016 to basically 2021 or two, were bad and boring. And that is the worst combination you can be in sports. If the Rockies were bad all these years and they were losing a lot of games 10-9 and, you know, there was fun comebacks and lots of runs scored, we wouldn't be as down in the dumps, if you will, as we were the past couple of years. But they were losing games, they're not scoring runs, their pitching's not good. It was kind of an all-around disaster. And as you mentioned, Jake McCarthy, some of the new guys in this locker room, in this clubhouse right now, Cole Kerrig, guys like Troy Johnston, who they call the Energizer Bunny, the guy's a complete psychopath in the locker room, they have kind of changed, they're starting to change. Let me put it that way. They're starting to change the culture around this team of, hey, we're not just going to walk into this locker room every day after a loss, and, you know, 120 or 119 of them last year, and mope and hang our heads. We're going to go back and get after it tomorrow. And even the game they lost against the Pirates, it looked like a patented series finale, which they are 3-16 in series finale since April 20th, mind you. So might be some betting tip for you there. If the Rockies are playing a game of the last season or the last game of a series, you bet against them. That's just how it goes. But they were down 8-1, and they make it 8-6 and get the tying run to the plate. So they're not giving up. They're a young team. They're starting to have fun. And really, you know, the players have to initiate it, but winning becomes contagious. And the players have talked about the crowd the past couple of nights. You know, obviously the Red Sox in town, there's going to be a crowd with the Pirates in town and skiings and a weekend series in the summer. It's going to be bigger crowds, and they're giving these bigger crowds something to excitedly watch. And then it becomes more contagious around the guys, around the locker room. They start winning games and figure out how to win some of these close games, and it just feels so much better. I mean, this isn't a playoff team. This isn't a wild card team. But this is a much more fun and palatable team than we saw in 25.
Yeah, and you know, seeing Mickey Moniak get back in the lineup too, I know that also had to be another significant boost for this team.
Yes, Mickey Moniak being back has been huge. I mean, honestly, it's it's going to be kind of insane once Brenton Doyle and Jordan Beck, who were sent off on rehab assignments yesterday, get back, what they are going to do with some of these players, because Cole Kerrig has been taking balls at second base. He played a little shortstop last night. With the energy and excitement he's brought to your roster the past 2 weeks, I don't think you can take him out of the lineup. And you also got to try to figure out what Doyle and Beck are when they come back from these injuries. And you're not going to take Mickey out, and Tyler Freeman's been playing well, and Troy Johnston is a top 10 average guy in the NL. So it seems like they have an embarrassment of riches, which sounds insane. But right now, this outfield is very crowded, and it's going to be very interesting to see what they do with it once guys start coming back into the fold.
All right, man. So with Warren Schaefer, I'm not saying I'm all in, but I'm definitely in. And it's not like I agree with everything he does. I haven't ever agreed with anything a manager or head coach has done, but I just like what he's bringing to the table.
Yeah, man. And he is the perfect demeanor and perfect type of manager for a team like this. Like, when you saw Bud Black, and Bud Black had some success at the start of his managerial career in Colorado, a couple trips to the playoffs, they had an older veteran team that was actually pretty good. And you saw he was able to manage a team like that. And now they're not only, you know, I think the positive part that Rockies fans and I still kind of hold on to all these years, these past couple of years, is that they're not losing with a bunch of 35-year-olds, right? They're losing with, last year, I think Mickey Moniak was the oldest guy in the lineup for more than half the season. The guy was 27 years old, right? So it's young, exciting potential. Not necessarily talent yet, not necessarily that they're going to be all good big league players, but you watch these games with the idea that there could be some potential future talent there. And Warren Schaefer is the perfect manager to get that out of them. He's been in the Rockies system. He's an energetic guy, fun guy, player's coach, and I think he's a perfect fit for this team right now. Now, he's going to have to grow just like the team does in the next couple of years if they want to become a playoff contender in 2028 or 29 or 30. Whenever you think that comes along, he's going to have to grow as a manager, and they're going to have to figure some other things out. But for right now, I think he's a perfect fit for this team and this roster.
Who do you think are prime candidates this, you know, for the trade deadline for the Rockies? Do you see a lot of movement, or do you see this team saying, hey, we finally have more than a handful of young guys that we believe we can build around, but you also want to take advantage of that? So you could see either way here. How aggressive are the Rockies going to be?
I believe they will be pretty aggressive. And the funny thing is we've been so conditioned as Rockies fans under Bill Schmidt and the past 10 to 15 years of, okay, well, the Rockies have a few pieces at the trade deadline. Are they actually going to trade them? And until last year's trade deadline, when they traded both Jake Bird and Ryan McMahon to the Yankees, it was a resounding no. And now you've got a whole new front office. Josh Burns spoke to the media yesterday. You've got Paul DePodesta as the president of baseball operations. I foresee them being fairly aggressive. The number one guy that they have to trade is Antonio Senzatella, and he's had a reclamation year. He goes from being the worst starter in almost MLB history last year to maybe the top available bullpen arm on a non-contender this year at this trade deadline. He's 7-0, got an ERA under 3, has been unbelievable for the Rockies. But his contract is ending, number one. And number two, he's got a big number on there. And is that a big number for a team like the Mets or someone to pay? No. But is that a big number for a team like the Rockies to pay? Yes. And so that's why, you know, as much as I love Senza and saw him kind of grow up in the Rockies system, was a good fifth starter and then became a good third starter, and then basically all the wheels fell off and he somehow put them back on and become this unbelievable bullpen pitcher and basically the only guy you can trust in the bullpen right now. You got to trade him. You got to free up that $14, $15 million for the Rockies to be able to spend elsewhere, because you can't get rid of Chris Bryant's contract right now, which is severely holding them up from spending more money, either getting people in the trade deadline or going after free agents this offseason. But Senzatella is the number one guy. And then really, they have to trade some outfielders. And I don't know who it is. I hesitate to say Mickey Moniak, because I feel like Mickey Moniak was such a exciting reclamation project for this team that took a guy off the scrap heap and kind of created a new career for him. And we talked to Mickey personally last week, and it was incredible, and talking about getting cut and going to the Rockies and now becoming a borderline all-star level player before he got hurt. But could be Mickey, could be a team looking for a right-handed bat, maybe a Tyler Freeman, maybe a Troy Johnston, maybe even a Willie Castro, who's a vet that hits from both sides of the plate and very versatile in the field. So I think they'll trade multiple guys. I'm guessing at least 3 to 4, potentially Tomo Shigano, their best starter this year. But you're right. The interesting part of it is you don't want to just trade everyone, right, and kind of continue to rebuild, and we are kind of catching some, not fire, but you're winning games here, you're getting some momentum, and you're learning what it feels like to win as a team. If you just ship everybody out, then you're kind of resetting that button again.
Yeah. I'll be interested to see the way they go. And I can't really, you know, and now with again, a handful of guys that you could potentially move to yield some pretty good players or what have you. That part's exciting too, but I'm also, there's a lot of guys on this team, old and young, like you said with Senzatella, that have kind of reconfigured their game and have found that game again. But maybe, you know, you don't want to hang on to these guys either. You want to be careful. You don't want to, you want to get them while that value's there. Spencer, always appreciate it, my friend. Hey, do I sound different? Clean shaven? You said it. You said it'd probably be, I'd probably either be shaved up before we talked or this would be the night, but a little ahead of schedule, man. I'm feeling good.
Yeah, you didn't even, you know, I was following you on Twitter there. You didn't even make an appointment. You were in your house. You probably had that razor fired up on, probably scared when the Pirates got to the runner on third and nobody out. But then you were pretty much done with that thing right when the game was over.
Well, scheduled the haircut for the very next Monday. Got that done. So I'm back to feeling normal somewhat for me. Normal again. So we'll take it at this point because it's too hot for a stupid, gross beard, my friend.
Yes, it is. Hey, I'm just wondering when I heard my buddy Zach from DNVR with the intro.
I was thinking
I
the same
talk
thing.
To these Hulligans. Let's do it.
Michael, when can we get Spencer to record one of those rejoins? Michael?
It's difficult.
You just talked to him on the phone for like 30 minutes. You guys are palling it up now. Now, don't be a jerk over there.
We are pals. I gave him my great pun that he's willing to use.
I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry. You don't have to do any of the things that he says. He's just doing it to be nice. Spencer, yes, we would absolutely love you to record or rejoin for us. We would love that, man. I'll have Michael sort that out with you right after this.
You got it, man. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you, bro. All right, we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks so much, Brady. Take care.
All right, Spencer Smith, DNVR, Rockies. And the Rockies are looking good, man. Things are looking better. On the Sorsby stuff... Yeah, Travis, the new guy, says, so who is the Texas Tech quarterback going to be? Isn't the Big 12 still trying to sue Texas Tech for some reason? I believe the Big 12 is still keeping that alive. I don't know for sure if that's a real, like, are they really going to keep that going for long? What that's going to look like? But yes, Texas Tech is not done yet. I still think Cincinnati needs more questions because they admitted to being flagged that Sorsby was getting on a gambling app. And the response from Sorsby was, no, I didn't gamble. It didn't let me in. That's how it ended? The follow-up should have been, wait a second. You tried to get on and gamble. You can't gamble. Even though you didn't gamble, you tried to get on and do it, but it locked you out. You can't do it. Aaron, I love how this auto-corrected your text, and I just... Brendan Storage B. Autocorrect's the worst. Brendan Storage B. Really doesn't want to sell insurance in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, does he? Now your lawyer's coming out. Well, we're going to sue the NFL now. Well, you're just going to sue everybody because you almost cussed? You're going to sue everybody because you screwed up?
Brady, I screwed up this morning. I'm suing you.
What is wrong with this world? I gambled. It was against the rules. I got kicked out. I sued your ass. Now it's probably not going to work because the NCAA is going to sue Texas Tech, and I don't want to be a bad teammate because that's going to hurt my stock. I'll go to the supplemental draft to get into the NFL. Oh, now you're not going to have a supplemental draft. I'm going to sue your ass. Is that how this is just going to go? You screwed up, but it's on everybody else to roll out the red carpet for you to make it better and kiss the boo-boo away. So you can still play football, which is a freaking luxury, and I'm tired of it.
We need a loser pays system where just to get rid of some of these stupid losses.
Go away, Sorsby. I'm over it. You and your lawyer, go away. We don't want to hear it anymore. You broke the rules in a very big way at two different schools. You were willing to throw Texas Tech under the bus to take the bullet for you, and you were willing to go along with that. And then finally, cooler heads prevailed, or logical heads prevailed, and decided against it, thinking my next ticket is to get into the NFL. And then the NFL says, no, man. Have you heard of Tom Brady when he deflated a football? What happened there? Yeah, bro, you gambled on sports
when he allegedly.
Your team. And we're not going to allow it. And now lawyer's going to come at them now. I mean,
the NFL is bigger and has bigger lawyers. Like, their lawyers have lawyers who have lawyers. I bet that their administrative assistants also are lawyers. Like, the NFL is powerful. He's going to
really
lose.
So it's just funny. Like, Jeffrey Kessler, who's the attorney? He's an attorney. So it's not the agent. The attorney shouldn't just throw stuff out there. But saying, this is a violation to not have the draft. It's a violation of the CBA and the law.
Nobody wants you.
Well, I would be curious to see if it actually is some kind of violation, because guess what? Sorsby's not a member of the CBA. So they didn't violate anything with him. He's not a member of it.
And I can guarantee you nobody wants him on your team. Nobody. Especially the people who got busted for gambling.
Nobody's taking him now. Because the NFL just said, we're not messing with this. If you sign him next year, you're gonna pay the price if you do. Because we'll probably not only kick him out the league, we'll fine you as well. Go away, Sorsby. I'm annoyed by it now. It was interesting to me. Now he just sounds like, I screwed up. I didn't get my way. Suing you. I screwed up again. I didn't get my way. I'm suing you. I'm over it. It's not interesting.
I think maybe he might want to call up the Alouettes and say, hey, Canadian team,
yeah.
can I be on
Canada.
Your team?
Go to
can
Canada.
Can you supplementally draft me?
Go play in Canada. Dixon says there's plenty of teams that will sign him. This is how the league works. Have we ever? I'm just asking. Give me an example of an NFL team signing a guy that gambled to this extent. In the college game and the NFL. Now, if there's an obvious answer out there, I'll admit that I'm wrong. But give me an example, because we've never seen this one before. Messing with massage therapists, you know, beating your girlfriend, doing all that crap.
You can come back from
that. Yeah, sure.
But that wasn't in the middle of the game. You didn't go up on the sideline and smack someone on your team.
You don't gamble on sports. You don't gamble on your team. Is there an example of the NFL... of any team signing a guy that had gambled to this extent? If you can't give me an example, then you can't necessarily say there are plenty of teams that will sign him, just the way the league works. The league might work that way with every other crime or crime, according to the NCAA and NFL, but the league doesn't work that way when it comes to gambling. So I'd be curious to see that. I'm sure there might be a small example, but we're talking almost $100K that this dude gambled, and 40 of those bets were placed on his own team. 40 minutes after the hour, Michael. Let's take a quick break. I'll read some of the comments coming. I got several texts on this. We'll get to that on the other side of this break. But first, we got to get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Forty-four minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. Sorry, John. We don't have John on, right? I don't have enough time. We've only got a couple minutes. But he did have somebody. He had an example for us.
Yeah, he was telling me about Art Schleister, who was drafted by the Colts. He was a former...
And he gambled.
Former OSU player. And I'm trying to read up on it, but he lost like $20 betting on college football.
While he was
in
the NFL?
I don't know if he ever played.
Was he in the NFL or was he in college football when he made the bet?
When he lost $20 on college football, Schleister gambling, blah, 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 signing bonus, even before Colts picked. Apparently he was possibly banned from the NFL. I'll have to keep reading this. But do you remember the Broncos player who committed suicide?
How long ago was this?
I think it was 5-10 years ago.
Really?
No, not 10 years ago. It would have been 15 years ago. He had gambling debts. Like, this is serious stuff. You don't want to mess with gambling in the NFL. Part of the reason why he committed suicide was because of that.
Was that Kenny McKinley?
Yeah.
Wow, I kind of just, no disrespect, but I kind of just forgot about that story. I forgot about that.
It was,
I liked Kenny
McKinley.
Yeah, it was
one of those that it happened early enough, I think, in the preseason.
And he was in debt, but he wasn't, was he gambling? He was just in debt.
I think it was gambling debt. That's at least what I remember. I'd have to read the full article, but I don't remember that story.
Maybe, but I don't recall gambling being a part of it, but maybe so. But I know there was some mental health stuff, which again, kind of to Texas Tech's credit, they don't want to gloss over that. I'm not really defending them, but they wanted to be very careful. They just didn't say the right things. Yes, Michael.
The 131-page report released by the Arapahoe County Sheriff's Department did mention
that McKinley.
McKinley had a gambling problem.
Okay, there you go. Well, that's even more reason for the NFL to fight this.
I mean, the Broncos probably, even though it was old ownership, the Broncos probably would look back at that and go,
yeah,
we don't want that.
Dixon says, while I don't agree with what he did, I still haven't heard why he can't drop out of school and sign as just an average Joe. Well, you just said that NFL doesn't hold open tryouts anymore.
They don't hold open tryouts. They haven't done it in 30 years.
So that's why. That's the answer. They don't have open tryouts.
I feel like open tryouts might actually be a distraction, too.
How did Mike Anderson get on a team? Because he wasn't drafted, right? But he had... you said it like this year because he didn't declare for the draft. Now, did Mike Anderson declare for the draft and didn't get drafted? Because I know he was in the military before. But we're trying to answer that question. We're trying to find that. What we have found is that because he did not declare for the draft, he's not eligible for the upcoming year unless, you know, the NFL did the supplemental draft and he became eligible for that. And he just recently became eligible for that. So that keeps him out. Why can't he just try out for a team? Why can't he just walk on? I don't think they're apparent. According to what you're finding, they're not really allowing it. Who cares about a tryout? Dixon says, well, they don't even want you on the field, man. Go ahead.
Mike Anderson was drafted by the Broncos.
Oh, he was drafted. Okay, I'm wrong. Then I'm way off. I'm way off. My bad.
189th overall. Rookie of the year.
They don't just hold tryouts, though. So, like, you can't just... Can't just go to headquarters and say, hey, I want a tryout. Can I run on the field for a while? You can't just do that.
And the problem with that is, like, if you play really well, some of your lower-level wide receivers, like, fans are going to revolt and say, hey, this guy should be on the team.
The movie Invincible that we're going to be reviewing on Friday. I'll be
curious. Everybody knows that.
See if you make it a starter or not, Mike, because you love the new rule. The players on that team, according to the movie, which was Disney'd up and Hollywooded up, were like, dude, take it easy out here. You know, man, like, this is just training camp. You know, just take it easy.
Sounds like they got some inspiration from Rudy.
No, it sounds like Mark Wahlberg and whatever his first name was, Papali. They got inspiration from him.
Rudy.
Faith texting in. Looks like this kid needs some tough love, just from the outside looking in. Dixon says, so what if you're an average Joe who works out and gets in great shape and you want to play football?
Mental draft?
I guess. And if they have it, then you can maybe get drafted. But I don't think you can just have your agent call a facility and say, hey, we want my guy to get a workout. You know, we want you to watch him run. It sounds like they don't really do that.
I think there was a player who was discovered by an NFL
team who
hadn't played football. I'll have to look it up.
You ought to call Broncos headquarters. Just call their office and say, hey, what would it take to get a tryout and see what they say? Just do it. Just do it, Mike. Just call.
They'd say no.
See what they say. We'll be right back.
I've been holding out so long. I've been sleeping all alone. Lord, I miss you. Keep it Stampede on KFKA for your chance to win Stampede concert and rodeo tickets thanks to Interior Sprinkler Systems.
This is Nico Carbacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
All right, coming up, we got an entire hour left here on The Hall Show. We got the clip of the day. How do you guys feel about the ABS challenge in the MLB? Are you good with this so far? Also, more on the Nuggets, and I do have some breaking news we'll discuss here in a moment from DNVR Nuggets.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.